Let's get back to that jobs report because it was a massive one. And here to discuss the ramifications is Brian Jacobson, Senior Investment Strategist at Allspring Global Investment. Brian, happy Friday to you. And what a jobs report it was, right? The numbers were massive. What are you looking at, particularly in today's report? And then I want to ask you, do you think based on it, the Fed maintains its patient stance after seeing wage growth up 4.9% year over year?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were pleasantly surprised by the jobs report, except for perhaps people who are on the wrong side of the market, anybody who is perhaps a little bit bearish on the outlook. Some of the details that I really liked in the jobs report were the back month revisions. So not only did we have a very good number for the month of October, we also had back month revisions that made things look a little bit better as far as, oh, maybe we, you know, September and even August were a little better than originally reported. But then I like getting into some of the details, the diffusion indexes within the employment situation report. This is something in one of the supplements that they provide, table B, for those people who want to look at it. At the bottom, it looks at the industries, the percent of industries that experienced an increase in employment. Now, that was only around 60 to 65% last month, but now for this month's report, it actually ballooned out to around 71%. So not only did we have very good job gains, it was broad-based. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Fed, you know, it would have been interesting to see what Chair Powell's comments would have been if they would have gotten the employment situation report before the meeting, because they're tapering, but it's entirely possible that the risks now are that they're actually going to have to accelerate that taper and then perhaps not just hike come mid-year 2022. They might even need to try to squeeze one in a little bit sooner than that because the stagflationary fears are likely going away. So I think that this is actually a very encouraging report, both for the economic outlook and also for the inflation outlook.
That's a really interesting comment just there. And I want to talk about the bond market and the reaction in the bond market to the job numbers today. I'm looking at the 30-year bond. That's down 7 basis points. Looks to be at a one-month low. Similar situation for the 10-year. What is this telling you that market participants are saying about the report in the bond market?
Yeah, I think that in the bond market, when we look at the Treasury inflation protected securities market, a lot of the movement here was really kind of almost perplexing because break evens, the compensation for inflation, didn't really move all that much. And so the lowering of the yields looked to be more on the real yield side, which is oftentimes over the long term associated with productivity growth in the long term. And so it's a little perplexing. So we'll have to see how this actually shakes out over the next few days. This could be some positioning moves. Oftentimes, if you see better growth prospects, maybe if the trajectory is towards higher rates, you can actually get a short-term pullback in rates as people try to hedge some of their duration exposure using treasuries if they have a lot of exposure to mortgage-backed securities, corporate debt, things like that. So we'll have to see how this plays out over the next few days. I won't read too much into one day's motion. For us, the way that we're looking at things on the multi-asset solutions team is that if the Fed is likely to start hiking a little bit sooner than what people originally penciled in, it might mean that they don't have to hike almost to as high of a level as what people originally feared. So if they start late, they might have to go higher with rates. So if they start sooner, they can go lower with rates instead. So that could actually push yields a little bit lower, at least in the short term here.
I want to turn your attention to a comment President Biden made earlier, which is that the economic recovery is historically strong. But then on the other hand, he says, you know, that's just a number. If you want to make people really feel it, then pass my Build Back Better plan. And I want to ask you to square those two things. If the economy is better, do you feel that we necessarily need even more stimulus to help the labor participation rate come up, which it just seems to be flat? It's not moving.
Yeah, that's a good point. That was one of the unsettling details in the report was the flatness of the labor force participation rate. So at around 61%, we'd much rather see that, you know, 3 percentage points higher. It seems to be going nowhere fast. Now, maybe some of this is just demographics. Maybe the labor force participation rate is really going to be where it is because of the age profile of the population. We know that with COVID, a lot of people decided to take retirement a little bit earlier. I think around 3 million people decided to retire a little bit earlier instead of going back into the labor force. So perhaps structurally, it is going to be a little bit lower here. When you look at the prime working age population, employment to population ratio for that group, so 25 to 54 years old, there's still some recovery that needs to be done there. Now, I think a key question as far as would additional, you know, the Build Back Better program help? I mean, maybe it wouldn't hurt, but I'm not sure that it would necessarily help. If you look at where are the job shortages or as far as where you'd like to see the employment gains, which sectors or industries would be most affected by, say, an infrastructure program? Maybe those aren't necessarily the areas that you really need to be targeting right now. But some of the program, as far as with, let's say, making it easier for people to enter into the labor force because they have more reliable childcare, that could help, right? So I think that there's things that on the margin it can help, but really, you know, the government program probably isn't going to be any sort of substitute for some sort of global growth pickup with the getting better of the bottlenecks that we see on the supply chain. So, you know, to say that we need this plan in order to make things better, yes, on the margin, it would likely make things better, but I don't think that it's going to be a panacea of any sort.
We only have a little bit of time here, but I do want to talk about some of the investment areas that you're excited about. And I'm looking through your notes. I know you're looking into emerging markets and also Japan. Haven't heard about Japan in a while, although I think Marco Kalanovich at JP Morgan liked it about a month ago.
Well, yeah, that was a good time to like it. And that's actually around about the time that we were looking at it. It was a little bit before then. We liked the valuation story. We liked the fact that they were having the election. We figured that the winner, Kishida, was going to promise some sort of tens of trillions of yen stimulus program, which indeed he did end up doing. So it is a trade that we have liked for a while. But we think that kind of to put it into perspective, if you think about where the markets were back in March, what did really well since then versus what didn't do all that well? Well, to the extent that these bottlenecks are going to get better, think about those things that underperformed are likely to outperform going forward. It's almost like a sort of an unwinding of the bottleneck trade. If you think about a bottlenecks getting better kind of basket, and that would include the emerging markets and a lot of the developed world. So we do prefer Japan over, say, Europe, but that's not to say that Europe isn't also likely to do well. So in terms of our rank preferences, we like emerging markets, we like Japan, and we like Europe. And then we also do like the United States. It's just that the United States has done quite well as the bottlenecks seemed to get worse and worse. So if the bottlenecks get better, we think that maybe the U.S. is likely to be an underperformer in that type of environment.
Okay, well, right now markets are firing on all cylinders. Brian Jacob, we will have to leave it there. Senior investment strategist at Allspring Global Investments. Thank you so much for your time.